Where'd it go? It's the news. According to me. Well, fine Thursday morning to you. It's May 6th, 8:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm currently sitting in my chair at my home, sipping on some Lipton tea with sugar and honey. It's good stuff. So, pull up a chair and join me for a spell. Whatever that means. I don't know. I can spell some more spells and things. I don't know. Whatever that means. We are rapidly approaching the end of the week here. And I have no idea what I'm going to talk about today. No idea. None. Zero idea. So this could go anywhere. I have absolutely no idea. So let's talk about foam cushions. Or not. Let's not talk about those. I got to find a direction here. Oh, here's a question. What happened to Parler? Let me see if Parler will even come up on this thing. I've tried to pull up the website. Don't misspell it, by the way. Parler, Parler.com. Click the enter button. The team is hard at work, tidying up and bringing you some cool changes. Take a break. We'll see you in a few hours. Well, it's been a few days. I don't know what they consider to be a few hours. I'm not sure what they're changing. And I still haven't figured out yet how Rumble... Well, I guess Rumble has a... you can go live now on Rumble. I'm a little disappointed with that whole thing. Because you have to pay... You have to have a paid membership on Rumble in order to, let's see if I can actually sign on to this thing. And I doubt if I can, but we'll see. I think it's like, well, that's not right. It must be a different address. Yeah, we'll try this. This might work. And I'm going to push the little button here. Yeah. There we go. Let's try that. There we go. That signed me right on. That was easy. We have Belgian Malinois shares precious bond with kitty friend. Well, isn't that special? Yeah. So we have Rumble. And I don't know. Go live. Let's see what this does now. I click on go live. It says Rumble ads and video player. No ad tag integrations, unlimited usage. Upgrade to this plan. Rumble ads and video. It's free. Starter package. The basic package is ad-free viewing. It's $10 a month. Now, I think I pay less than that for premium YouTube. It's right at or lower than that. I think it might be $9.99. It might be $5. I don't know what it is for premium, and you get ad free viewing, and then you get storage, 100 gigabytes of storage, 250 gigabytes of bandwidth. That's $10 a month on Rumble. You have a starter package, which is creator features. They have ad free viewing experience. For that they should be paying me to watch their ads. Publisher features, 250 gigabytes of storage and 1 terabyte of bandwidth. Then you can go to the team package. The team package, I don't know why they call it the team package, ad-free viewing experience, unlimited live streaming, 1 terabyte of storage and 4 terabytes of bandwidth. I don't know how anybody who I don't know how you could possibly have, who possibly need 4 terabytes of bandwidth. I guess if you had, you know, 1 million views in the first hour, I suppose that would probably give you, you know, you'd need that 4 terabytes of bandwidth. I guess, I don't know. I don't know how much that is. I don't know what's. But the that's $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year. For those of you who don't, I'm just doing the math in my head, so I could be wrong. But that seems a little steep to me, considering I don't have to pay anything to be on YouTube, and I can stream all I want until I'm censored. That seems a little pricey. $25 a week. You better be making some money on your videos. That's all I got to say. And that's not cheap. I mean, if it's your hobby and that's what you do, and you want to spend $100 $100 a month isn't a lot of money. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's not cheap. Just to stream videos. So I'm going to get that. No, I'm not going to get that. Then there's the small business package, which is 5 terabytes of storage, 20 terabytes of bandwidth, and ad tag integrations. Unlimited live streaming, of course. That's for the additional storage and the ad tag integrations. It's basically 5 times the storage and bandwidth. That's a measly $500 a month. That's the business package, the small business package. And there's the large business package, which is ad-free viewing experience, unlimited live streaming, of course. 15 terabytes of storage. It's, 3 times the storage of the small business package. 50 terabytes of bandwidth and ad tag integrations, API access, and video upload endpoint. That is a measly $1,000 a month, which again is $12,000 a year. I don't know what you make. Maybe videos make a lot of money on this platform. I don't know. Maybe you get paid a lot for having a video that gets seen a lot. I don't know how this works. All I can say is that seems like an awful lot of money to me to be able to use live streaming. So I'm not sure what that's all about. Needless to say, it's not going to happen with me very soon, unless people start sending me like $100 a week just to pay for this. Somebody out there needs to pay me $100 a month so I can get the team package and I can start streaming live on Rumble. The broadcast can be streamed live on Rumble. Or if 100 of you would just send me $1 a month. Or if 200 of you would send me 50 cents a month. Or if 1,000 of you would send me 10 cents a month. Or if just one of you would send me $10 million a month, I would go away. You wouldn't have to worry about listening to me ever again. That'd be fine. Just one-time payment, $10 million, I'm done. I would do one more show to thank you, and then I would be gone. It'd be a very short show because I'd be on my way out the door. To my new home. One of my new homes. One of my many new homes that I have to fly me with my private plane to somewhere. Preferably on some coastal beach with a boat sitting there. Yes. just a thought. I'm just thinking out loud here, folks. So, what's going on in the world out there today? I don't know much about what's happening here. Let's take a peek in on frankspeech.com. See what's happening. Nothing. Let's look at the TV. The TV thing. Lindell TV. Latest episodes. It's pretty much the same thing. I don't see the live stream thing that they usually have going on here. What's up with that? I do not see it. Usually they have a live stream going on, but there's nothing going on this morning here. That's fine. Let's check in with from the desk of Donald Trump. And it's pretty much the same thing it was yesterday. There's no post today yet, looks like. So I'm not going to. I guess you can sign up here. Of course, there's a place to contribute, of course. For some reason, the people on the left, they're all, he's got a website. I bet the first thing you see is a place to donate. You ever been to the Democrat website? The DNC website? You ever been to any of the politicians on the left's website? Are you insane? All of them, all these guys, they constantly are asking for money. Constantly. So I don't understand what the big deal about that is. I don't like it. I don't like it when my local representative asks, you know, sends me a little flyer. I'm working on all these little things that nobody, you know, all these innocuous things that 90% of Americans stand behind. And I need your money to fight this. The Democrats are taking over. We need your money to fight this. I gave you my money in the form of a vote. Now go do your job. I wanted to say freaking job, but I don't like doing those. I don't like saying that. I just don't like saying that. It's a byword for something else that I try not to say. So these people ask for money and they, I'm like, tell you what, rather than spending your money to get my vote, why don't you just get my vote. Do something worthy of getting my vote. Now, I understand if you're not in office and you're running for office, it takes some money to raise, you know, campaign funding money. I get that. Because you've got to get the media out there. You got to get the pamphlets, the flyers. You got to do some radio ads. You got to do some TV ads. You got to get your name out there. You got to promote yourself a little bit. You got to do that kind of stuff. I get it. But when you're in office and you're spending your time on re-election stuff and you're not even up for re-election for another year and a half and you're asking for money, donate to our fund. why don't you just do your job? Why don't you just do the work? And basically the only power you really have is to vote. Now, I don't know how these committees work. You know, these committees. In my opinion, that's just another thing to put on their resume and just one more political move that they can. And a little dirty note, little secret of many of those committees, they have their own little budget. It gives them more power with regard to spending. It also gives them a little bit more money in their pocket for serving on the committee, typically. Gives them more prestige, gives them a little bit more clout. More insider, elbow scratching, you know, all that stuff that's important for us, we the people, to have. Whereas we really care about you and your power and your career in politics. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's why we elect you, so you'll have a great career in politics. They kind of forget sometimes, I think, who they work for. And that they're there to represent us, not to dictate over us. Gets very aggravating. And they're really not there to represent me. They're there to represent my rights. That's really what they're there for. Because if they represent my rights, then they're representing everyone's rights. Has nothing to do with the color of my skin, my gender, my orientation, my religion. They represent my rights. They represent your rights, not me and my opinions. I can share my opinion all day long if I want to, but that's not what's important at the end of the day. What's important at the end of the day is that I have the right to share my opinion. And that seems to be being stifled by it on many sides. Our right to speak our opinion is being slammed. Now let me tell you a little story. And this is a story that causes my blood to boil. Again, about every day I have to get up and get my blood boiling. And I have to, I'm chewing hot tea this morning. So that way it warms up my blood a little bit before I start getting it to boil, because if you go straight from cold blood running through your veins to boiling blood, it can cause some issues with something. I don't know. I'm not going to get into a lot of technical terms and medical terms for you, because I don't confuse you. And I'm already walking off into confusion land here for myself. So I got to. So the thing that aggravates me here is that there was recently some Tom Fitton with what's the name of his group? Thing he runs, Freedom something, I don't know. I really appreciate the work he does. It's he stays on target, goes after, he does a lot of FOIA stuff, goes after the information, gets the documents, and I'm surprised they haven't tried to, suicide him yet. I'm sure they have. They want him to go away. He's kind of dropped off the news cycle here recently. I'm not sure exactly why, but he's gotten kind of quiet. But he still is being interviewed and talked about. I think he might have just came out with another book. I don't know. But he does a great job. And Tom Fitton is it's Freedom. It's not Freedom Council. I can't remember what it is. I have access. It's too bad I don't have some kind of way of like tapping into the worldwide information that's out there, the world of information out there. Wouldn't that be great? If I could just tap on a little clicker board of some kind and find out like something like a tap into the world wide web of information. But I have no idea how I would do that. So well, it's taking its time. I don't know if I spelled his name right or not. Judicial Watch. That's what it is. Crazy guy. You crazy guy, you. Judicial Watch. Right, here's the article that I'm referring to. Well, isn't that amazing? I can pull up information and it's right there. It's almost as if they're reading my minds. My minds? Reading my mind. I only have one. Well, I'm out of my mind. So I'm not sure whether or not you mind. I don't mind if you don't mind. I'm getting a little low on sweet tea here, or on this hot tea. So I might have to go switch over to the sweet tea, which is upstairs. I'm not sure I'm going to do that, because this is a show that is recorded live. I want to keep the juice flowing. So we have this issue, and it's interesting that this is, it's taken a really long time to get pull this up. But he basically, this is a big tech center. Big tech censorship. Apparently, there was some interaction between a particular state legislators and Tom Fitton, this Judicial Watch organization. They were claiming that his allegations that he was making in his articles were false. I think he was posting some things on Facebook or Twitter or something. Facebook and Twitter, I guess is what it is. And some politicians called up Facebook and decided to ask them if they were if they would take those posts down because they weren't true. So Facebook replied and said, well, we're putting up a filter over the top of it that says that this has been fact-checked and found to be false information. They would still play it, but it was, you know, they had this filter over it, supposedly. And then they did it to a couple other things as well. And there was this back and forth with, and they kept posting these articles on, and more articles on the situation, and they kept getting this filter put on them. And then they called, I guess Twitter was also, they were posting on Twitter the same information. And so this the company, this these politicians also called and said something to Twitter. And Twitter basically refused. They said, no, we're not gonna take it down. And we're not gonna block it. And good for them. Good for Twitter part, on Twitter's part. But however, here's the problem. The fact that they were even asking. You know, did they even call Judicial Watch? Did they even talk to Tom Fitton and say, hey, here's the real truth on this issue. Let's discuss this. Let's even do it publicly. Let's talk about why you're wrong about this and go public with it. I'm sure Tom would have loved to have done that. But here's the problem. All they were doing was saying, it isn't true. It's like a junior high kid when you catch them, you know, doing something they shouldn't be doing. And then you say, well, they just say, it isn't true. It isn't true. No, that's not mine. That's somebody else's. No, that's, I didn't do that. It's like the little kid who's got chocolate all over his face and you ask him if he ate the chocolate pie. No, I didn't eat it. No. Why do you have chocolate all over your face? It was the cat. Got cat wiped chocolate all over my face. That I would believe. I would believe that the cat would go eat the chocolate pie and then smear it all over your kid's face. Because that's what cats do. That's just the way cats are. They're sly little guys. You never know what they might get into. I'm convinced. But, well, looky there. You can sign up for free. You can hold. You can do this. You can do that. I see. You have to actually I have to click on this. Oh, is it a video? I don't know, what is this? What is going on here? This whole internet thing is just a mystery to me. Yeah, here we go. This is the. I get another page with all kinds of stuff on it. California officials pressured big tech into to censor social media election posts. Judicial Watch. In court to stop a Maryland county from giving cash to illegal aliens, and Judicial Watch fights hard left critical race theory. California officials pressured big tech to censor social media election posts. We now have chilling details of California state officials and big tech executives conspiring to uproot the First Amendment and influence the 2020 election. And key targets were Judicial Watch and me, Tom Fitton. The proof is in a 540 pages of a supplemental 4 pages of documents that were what? The proof is in 540 pages and a supplemental four pages of documents we received from the Office of the Secretary of State of California, revealing how the state officials pressured social media companies, Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, to censor posts about the 2020 election. Included in the documents were misinformation briefings. Emails that were compiled by communications firm SKDK, which lists Biden for president as their top client of 2020. Interesting. The documents show how the state agency successfully pressured YouTube to censor my Judicial Watch video concerning the vote by mail and the Judicial Watch lawsuit settlement about California voter roll cleanup. We received the records in response to a California Public Records Act, CPRA. I'm telling you, these guys are, he is absolutely a pit bull when it comes to going after documentation. This is where I fall short. I am not an administrative type person. And people like this just amaze me that they work through the weeds of doing these kinds of things. There was a time when I wanted to be a private investigator because I thought most private investigators, I thought they all drove around in Maseratis, lived in Hawaii, and just did all kinds of exciting, fast, fun things. And I found out differently. I took this little course on private investigation. You know, I used to like watching forensic. I watch Forensic Files. I watch all the, crime shows. All that stuff. Mystery crime stuff. The real stuff. Not fake stuff. Well, it's supposed to be real. I don't know. Could be all acting. I don't know. And I like watching those shows. And it's because I'm always trying to figure it out before the end of the show. I'm trying to give my determination on what's going on because, I know. Because I'm watching television. So, I think I've watched about every Forensic File episode there is. All I see is repeats anymore. So I've been watching this thing for so long. So I think most of what an investigator does, and investigative journalism is no different really. Other than you get to report on, to the public what you've found. Whereas a private investigator or an investigator of some sort, when you're a PI, you have, you present things to a judge or to your client or to a lawyer. And the difficult part of it is 90% of the job, of the work you do anyway, is looking up records, going back through records, finding things. It's not just following people, recording what they're doing. I mean, there's some of that. But that's generally not, what you're doing. You're going through all kinds of public records, finding things, and it's a lot of administrative work. And I am not that guy. I love the technical side of things, the James Bond part of it, where you get, the video cameras and you're doing all the, you're following a car and tracing someone in real time. I love that stuff. But I digress. So I have, I can't even find Parler right now. I don't even know where Parler is. That's how bad I am. I type in the website, can't find it, so I don't dig any further. This Tom Fitton guy, he is constantly going after records. They must have like 20 trillion terabytes of information in their desk or in their computer because they're always going after stuff. So the Office of Election Cybersecurity and the California Secretary of State's office monitored and tracked social media posts. Decided if they were misinformation, stored the posts in an internal database coded by threat level, and on 31 different occasions requested posts be removed. In 24 cases, the social media companies agreed and either took down the posts or flagged them as misinformation, according to Jenna Dresner, senior public information officer for the Office of Election Cybersecurity. Now, keep this in mind. Everybody says, Facebook can take down whatever post they want. It's a private operation and it's a private organization. They can do whatever they want to. They don't have to uphold your First Amendment rights or your Second Amendment rights or your First, Third Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth or Fifth Amendment rights. And they don't. It's true. And this is the problem. When they step into that role, see, they have certain protections. There are certain things that protect them from lawsuits. If I put up a social media platform, and someone posts something on there that causes someone to commit a crime, or if they post something on there, there is a crime, I'm not held liable for that. Now, if I start curating things and I start editing things and I become the publisher and say, okay, well, I'm not going to let that kind of speech go. I'm not going to let you talk about that political ideology, for instance. Now I've become a publisher. Now I've become the editor-in-chief. Now I'm assuming rights. That means I'm saying one thing is okay and the other thing isn't okay. And that now you're opening yourself up for lawsuits because you're taking responsibility for what people post. And now that's a problem. You shouldn't be protected from lawsuits at that point. And there's other things as well, that all kinds of other issues that they sneak around on, and they play stupid when they get called before Congress. And they get called before Congress every month just so that the politicians make it look like they're making it tough on these guys. They're not. They're talking about breaking up big tech now. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. And what they need to do is just, I don't know. You can't make it become a utility, because then every little mom and pop operation out there that has a social, platform that wants to start a social platform now has to comply to these big tech rules, which is difficult. So they're trying to stay away from that, but I think that's where it's headed. I think it's headed to a thing where social media gets to a certain size, it's considered a public utility. I don't know what they're going to do with that, but we'll see what happens with that. So this is the big deal right now, though. And in my opinion, this is heinous crime on the part of these political officials. They are working with big tech to stifle or squash any opposing views. Now, they're claiming that it was misinformation. Really? Okay, so what's the truth? What's the whole story here? Because is it misinformation that the Judicial Watch went out and found documents saying that you did this? I suppose you're going to say that's a lie too. That's the misinformation. Well, we were just asking them to. They didn't have to do it. Several people in your organization, you went higher and higher up the ladder at those companies, and you were pressuring them to do this for you. Just simply, but not even presenting the truth. Just simply saying, it isn't true, it's misinformation. Okay, we'll just take it off there. It's baloney, they know it, but they do it anyway. Let's talk about some other stuff. There's this thing, this vaccine passport thing that's been going around. I guess Canada now has decided to do a vaccine passport. Now, I believe the FDA equivalent in Canada has actually formally approved one of the vaccinations, one of the vaccines. I don't know which one it was. I'm sure it was one that had paid them the most money to do so. And the interesting side of this, the whole interesting part of this whole thing is that they are going to require vaccine passports now to travel internationally, in or out of the country. Well, goodbye, Canada. I don't want to go to you. I don't want to visit you anyway. I've got my brother-in-law and my nephews. They go up there a lot. They've got some property up there. I guess they lease the property. It's up on a little secluded lake someplace. You have to take four-wheelers in to get to the place. It's a pretty cool little cabin they got up here. But now they theoretically they have to get vaccinated and have proof of that in order to get up there. Now, here's the problem with this. There's two problems. One, the main problem right now in the United States is this is an experimental drug. It is under the Emergency Act, experimental drug interaction thing. They cannot force you to take an experimental drug. Nobody can. if your employer is telling you you have to be vaccinated, you can tell them to stick it because not in your arm. Because they cannot force you to take it. Even in the military, where they can tell you to take all kinds of vaccinations before you go overseas, there's all kinds of protocol for that. It has to be FDA approved. Now I think it's Pfizer. Could be AstraZeneca. One of the two is very close to getting FDA approval now. And once that happens, Now they can start pushing it on you and making it, and forcing you to do so. Now, if your employer has asked you or wants you to disclose whether or not you've had the vaccine, that you've been vaccinated, now they're violating, well, I don't know if asking is violating, but you do not have to tell them what kind of medical treatment you've had because HIPAA laws apply. It's none of their business what kind of medical treatment you've had. Now, if you have a, if you say you drive a truck and you have a DOT physical, that's all the proof you need to show your employer that you are fit to drive. If you have a flight physical, that's all the, it's all you need, flight physical. Now, if they start requiring vaccinations for flight physicals, in order to have a flight physical, you have to have a vaccination. Really? Is that something that's in the safety of flight? Really? Am I going to all of a sudden get sick and die from COVID on a flight? Or driving a truck? Or operating a forklift? So it's not... This pushes into a couple different areas that people don't think about. They just think, oh, we got to do this because, you know, we got to prove that you had your vaccine. Yeah, that's what you got to do. And it's not, it has nothing to do with your ability. And here's the thing. There's a lot of scientists saying that COVID will probably, this particular type of virus, the coronavirus thing, strains, typically mutate into less dangerous strains. It may not. We don't know yet. It can go the other way. But that's yet to be decided. So what happens 2 years down the road? Now we got these, you know, vaccine passports. And you're limited. You're an underclass in the society because you don't have your vaccination. And then we 2 years from now, the coronavirus is gone. It's no longer a factor. But everybody still has. Now you need another stamp because we have another variant, or we have another potential vaccine you have to take for, you know, every year to keep this thing from coming back or whatever they try to scare you into. You see, fear is a huge motivator. And I see this fear-mongering thing going on a lot. I see politicians that just passionately get on, you know, on the news and talk about how this is the most dangerous health emergency we've ever had in the history of this country. Is it really? I don't think it is. I think you don't know the history of this country. Maybe you need to pay a little more attention to what's going on. Maybe do some facts. Maybe it's the most dangerous health emergency in your head. With all the talk, and I've talked about this before. And it's, what is the number one killer last year? What was the number one thing that people were dying from last year? The number one thing people died from last year. You'd think it was COVID, but it was not. In fact, only about 200,000 people died last year, if that, from COVID. And all of a sudden, from the first of the year until the inauguration, there was like 400,000 people dead from COVID the night before the inauguration. I don't know what happened there. And now there's only maybe 500,000. It's been 100 days, and we had this huge number all of a sudden. And I think that they had to have it that way. They had to make it that way. They jacked with the numbers because they had to make it look like all those people died under the Trump administration. I think they padded the numbers, in my opinion. I think they they jacked it up and made it look like, okay, so we got 400,000 people. And then that way, as soon as Biden got into office, they could, you know, instead of counting what they would do before the, beforehand was they just like added 50,000 here and 50,000 there, got it up to 400,000 the night before. And now, and then they can kind of, that gets them ahead a little bit. So that way, when people are dying after Biden takes over, that we can make that go down. I don't know. I just don't trust anybody anymore. I don't know what to believe. It's, you know, we just get information and numbers from, everything's so politicized. They don't care about giving us the truth anymore. All they care about is politicizing the facts. They're facts. Truth is absolute. So I'm just going to go with that right there. There you go. So there's that. But the vaccination passport thing, it's coming. And they're going to push it on us. Now, once they have that in place, and I don't even like the testing anymore. I don't know what to, it's, you know, taking a test. What are they doing with that information? Where's the sample going? What's how, you know, do they just take the test and they throw everything away? It all goes in the trash? Or does that test get centralized? Because I guarantee you, they're going far enough up your nose and getting enough material from you that I'm sure they're getting your DNA. And that bothers me more than the supposed idea that they're planting a chip in your head. This is I better have heard this part. There's a little bitty tiny microcomputer that they're putting up into your nose when they do a test, that swab thing, that they're putting it way up in there. I'm more concerned about them getting my DNA material and starting a database on everybody's DNA. Because at some point, and this is the eugenics part of this whole thing. At some point, they're going to say, well, you're of this particular race, or you have this particular genetic code, so your insurance rates are going to be this, and you're not going to be allowed to eat this kind of food. And, you know, and all it's going to take is for them to tell me I can't eat cheese. And it's a civil war, baby. It's coming. It's on. Now we're down. We're throwing down now, by golly. I'm on it. Don't take away my cheese from my cold, dead, cheesy hands. So it's one of those things I'm just not going to allow. But that's what they're doing. That's what they're this is, and it's all for the purpose of, you know, protecting us. Because we just care about you. We have to protect the children. It's all about the children, protecting the children of our Constitution. Nancy Pelosi. That's the Constitution. Of course, now she talks like this. I think she likes that mask thing because that way she can play with her teeth. She can, you know, pop them in and out of her mouth all the time. You can't tell what she's doing up there. She's got that mask on. She can bounce them off her mask and bounce them back into her face. She probably switches, you know, her uppers with her lowers, switches them around just for the fun of it. I don't know, if I had dentures, that's what I would do. Wouldn't it be weird? Somebody opens up their mouth and smiles and they have their uppers on their lowers. And they have their teeth upside down. It'd be creepy, wouldn't it? It's creepy enough looking at Nancy. So, a couple other things that are in the news. what's this guy? They're calling him Juror number 52. Now they're showing his pictures everywhere. I thought these people were supposed to be protected. Apparently they're out now, if they want to be, I guess. A juror number 52 is a problem. And I don't know if he was the 52nd one that was interviewed. I don't know if he was the 52nd one that was actually called, or they're just calling him number 52. Now there weren't 52 jurors, so I'm not sure. I think there were only 9. So anyway, so he's in a little bit of hot water, and the whole thing is kind of crumbling down around this whole thing, because this is definitely going to be a retrial, or a what they call an impeachment of the results, because of the it's not good. It's not good what he did. He basically lied to the interviewer, and he was a biased juror. Now, they're all claiming that they didn't hear anything about, they didn't hear what Maxine Waters said. They didn't hear anything on the news about this and that. They're all denying they heard any of this stuff. All of it's amazing that all nine of them who had access to the news didn't hear anything that could influence the trial in Minneapolis. They didn't hear anything. They're in Minneapolis, where there's tens of thousands of people out from out of state, in state, and they're all running around waving signs and saying things and threatening death to whoever, you know. But they weren't influenced by any of that. They weren't, and they weren't, you know, rigging anything on the trial in the trial, because they didn't have any presupposed ideas about the whole thing. I'm just saying. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't a juror. I didn't get to hear all the data. Again, Asian hate crimes are still on the rise, and there's a lot of flack about that. There's a video out right now of a guy, just unprovoked, this guy just starts beating on this guy. He's Asian. He has a daughter with him. I don't know if the daughter was in a stroller or if he was just with him. And this guy just starts beating his face in. Knocks him to the ground, starts beating him up. What they won't tell you are certain attributes of this man. For instance, well, I won't even get into it. I'll leave it to your imagination what this guy might look like. Because what he looks like has nothing to do with the crime. He's committing a crime. It's obviously a hate crime. It's not a premeditated crime that's just... And when you just all of a sudden you start beating somebody up because of the way they look, because you think they're a particular racial, ethnic persuasion, and you just beat them up, and you happen to be a particular racial, ethnic persuasion, as we all are, I guess. You don't steal anything, you don't do anything else, it's just a unprovoked attack. That's got to be hate crime. I mean, who? You don't beat somebody up because you like them. So it's not a like crime. It's a hate crime. Everything's a hate crime. You don't rob somebody's home because you love them. You like their stuff, maybe. So, anyway, this is the ridiculousness of all this stuff. And the statistics on it, on the Asian crime rate, of course, they're trying to blame it, like, on, of course, the white racist males. So are the ones doing it, I'm sure. Oh, no, they're not. But we'll talk about that some other time. But that's what they'd lead you to believe, because they're not being specific about it, so they're just leaving it hanging out there. I want to finish up with this little chat. I've only got about 10 minutes at the most. Actually, I got less than that, because this was supposed to be a 45-minute show. And it's 48 minutes so far. But I've made a promise to myself I won't go over an hour anymore. One thing I want to hit on before I go, and just a little tidbit of information. The founding of our nation was founded on a principle of individual liberties and rights. I talk about this about every show, it seems like. And the fight for that started, of course, with the Revolution against England, the motherland. The fight for that has continued to this day, and it will not stop. We will never achieve a perfect union. And I think the, you know, when the founding documents say to achieve a more perfect union, we're always striving for that. Always striving to defend continually the rights of the individual, because the rights of the individual are continually under attack by those who would have power over us if they can. They would usurp power over us in a heartbeat if they could do it, because this is in the heart of people, to have power over others. Human beings are inherently very selfish creatures, self-absorbed, self-motivated. That would be a good thing, actually. Self-absorbed, selfish, and very self-preservation type thing. There's another word in there I want to throw in, but I can't think of what it is right now. Because I'm self-duh, I guess what I am. This fight against those who would have us enter into a collective society, who oppose the individualism and want to form groups and groupthink and group rights, special protections. These people who do that are enemies to the Republic by which it stands. The nation is under attack right now, in my opinion. The founding principles of our nation are under attack. And we need to recognize that. This is a fight that we must all take up. We must all educate ourselves to the understanding that the founding issues are those of individual rights versus collectivism. Call it left or right politics, whatever you want to call it. I personally think that the Republicans, especially the establishment, gets down in the weeds and tries to work with the Democrats as if they're going to persuade them to kind of come along to their side or come along their way or just in trying to compromise a little bit so that they can get some votes. So they're not, you know, they feel like if they go too far right, they're going to ostracize everyone. And here's the problem. We don't educate the people. You know, the left has the school systems. They have the curriculum. They have the universities. The majority of them out there, especially the state colleges and universities, they are inundated with this Marxist, communist ideology, revisionist history, all kinds of stuff that they're promoting and slamming down on our little kids with skulls full of mush, as it would say. That's what Rush used to say all the time. Their brains aren't fully developed, and they're giving them all this ridiculous information and not teaching them anything about what the conservative movement is or what conservative principles are, other than to vilify it. The only thing that they hear about it is the vilification of it and why it's wrong. Negative liberties. Are you going to pull yourself up with your own bootstraps, your own rugged individuality? We need to work as a team. We need to be a nation who's together, and we can all hold hands and sing kumbaya. Well, that'd be great. It's all voluntary. That's great. But the government's not going to bring that about. That's not going to happen through the government. Let me just put it that way. No government program. Government program is going to pull that off. But this fight will not end because they, you know, in the Republicans and the a lot of people in the Republican on the conservative side, it's a much more complex ideology to explain than just saying free stuff for everyone, free college, free healthcare, free car, free house, free cell phone. That's real easy to say all that stuff. We're gonna cut child poverty in half. Yay! Well, how are you gonna do that? Who's gonna pay for all this stuff? You're gonna force cell phone companies to give away cell phones? You're gonna force landlords to not collect rent? Oh yeah, that's happening. Well, we just need to tax people more. Well, then, what? But that, I, what? So those of us who are paying taxes, where I see this going is, you know, the people who are really working and trying to make a living and being productive are paying more in taxes for those who are not. We're already there, folks. So we can give more free stuff to those who aren't, because they're poor and underprivileged, because they don't, well, it's not that they don't try. Some of them do. But for the most part, those who do try in this nation end up on the top. Most of them. There are some people who've hit some hard times, and you have some knockdowns, and some things happen to you, and you do everything right, and you still have the rug pulled out from under you. Believe me, I know. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, as Proverbs says. And you can have a pretty sick heart. But don't give up that hope. Because I've seen that happen to some people. They give up on God, thinking that God has given up on them. And, you know, you shake your fist at God and you curse him and you say, oh, you know, there's a really good story that my wife posted on Facebook the other day. I might talk about that this afternoon because it's a really good story. I might even read the story. I think it should be a movie if it isn't already. But it's a really good story about this missionary couple that goes off to reach a tribe. And the husband is left with very bitterness, a lot of bitterness in his heart about the results of what happened. And for many, many years. And it's an interesting story how it concludes, but it's... So, anyway, real quick, I'm going to read a few headlines from the desk of Donald Trump. Oh, we got some new posts. Is that a new post? No, it's not a new post. No new posts. But this is from yesterday. Trump continues to call Liz Cheney. He's really after Liz Cheney right now. This is from May 3rd. So nice to see Rhino Mitt Romney booed off stage at the Utah Republican State Convention. They are among the earliest to have figured this guy out. A stone cold loser. That's pretty good. This is also from May 3rd. Please explain to the Democrats and rhinos that the reason Texas 06 completely shut out Democrats. This is the election, by the way, on the 6th, on the Texas 06, so a special election. Shut out Democrats in Saturday's jungle primary is because of my endorsement of Susan Wright, who surged last week after receiving it. The Democrats were shut out, and now it will be a contest between two Republicans, a very big win. It would be nice, however, if the pundits and fake news media would state the real reason for this unprecedented, Democrats have never been shut out before, victory. That's true. They've never had a complete shutout. One Democrat stepped forward to say, this could spell trouble for us in 2022. Here's another post from that same day. The fraudulent presidential election of 2020 will be, from this day forth, known as the Big Lie. Now, if you've watched any of Lindell's stuff, the Pello guy, the man who is an extremely... That guy's got a lot of character, I tell you. He's unflappable. He's hitting home on some stuff. And he is going all in on this thing. He's like a pit bull as well. Today is election day in Texas. Go out and vote for Susan Wright. She'll be strong on the board. This is back in May 1st. Let's go back to some May 5th stuff. Warmongering Liz Cheney, who has virtually no support left in the great state of Wyoming, continues to unknowingly and foolishly say that there was no election fraud in 2020 presidential election, when in fact the evidence, including no legislative approvals, as demanded by the U.S. Constitution, shows the exact opposite. Had Mike Pence referred the information on six states, only need two, back to state legislatures, and had gutless and clueless Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he does not like McConnell, and neither do I. He blew two seats in Georgia that should have never been lost. Fought to expose all the corruption that was presented at the time, with more found sense, we would have had a far different presidential result, and our country would not be turning into a socialist nightmare. Never give up, he says. Yeah. He continues to go on about Liz. This is the most recent tweet was yesterday at 11:45 a.m. Liz Cheney is a warmongering fool who has no business in Republican Party leadership. We want leaders who believe in the Make America Great Again movement and prioritize the values of America first. Elise Stefanik is a far superior choice, and she has my complete and total endorsement for GOP conference chair. Elise is a tough and smart communicator. And that's really what we need right now. We need some people who can communicate not just rhetoric and political football issues. We need some people to educate our nation because the schools aren't doing it on the founding principles and where we're going as a nation and what we're doing as a nation, because it ain't happening. It is not happening in this country. Rush Limbaugh was doing an incredible job of communicating, making the difficult to understand understandable. We need those kinds of people to step forward now and start communicating the principles of this nation. First of all, those who know what the principles are, you're not going to be able to communicate them if you don't know what they are. And then the ability to help educate people in what's going on and why the conservative principles are better for every single individual, not just special groups with special protections. Because sooner or later, there's one group that doesn't have special protections and they're the only ones who aren't protected. So, I'll talk to you this afternoon, folks. Have a good day. God bless.